chapter 5. As a matter of fact, we'll be concluding our study on the book of James. How's that? Is that pretty good? All right, we're going to get that adjusted, but it gives me a little celestial voice.
Advantage of that. Amen. But James chapter 5, verses 17 through 20 is where we'll find our scripture this morning. And we've been talking about the search for real faith. The search for real faith. These verses will help us bring this to a conclusion and hopefully help us in our lives to be prayers, and not only prayers, but prayers, but to also be good examples of the faith so that we can represent God in our community. Amen. James chapter 5, beginning with verse number 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions
as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converts the sinners from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we do thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have as children of God to come together for worship. We don't take it for granted. There are a lot of people gathering for many reasons. They gather to enjoy one another. They gather for the purpose of conducting business. Some even gather for battle. But this morning, we gather for worship. We gather here to praise and honor your holy name because you are God, and beside you, there is none other. Bless us now in our time together, Lord. Make it time well spent so that we can learn of your righteousness, that we might go forth and do your will. We love you and we praise you, and we ask all of these blessings in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Amen. I want to preach from the subject this morning, rainmakers. Rainmakers, is that all right?
It's all right.
And when we talk about rainmakers, we are not suggesting that you go out and you paint your face or you wear some special garb and then you try to make it rain. But what we're talking about is that you have the ability to know how to pray and more specifically to know what to pray for. A rainmaker is one that, as you would imagine, they get results. They don't just pray because it's their time to pray. They don't just pray because they're going through some routine. They pray to get results. And certainly that should be the reason why any of us would want to pray. We wouldn't just want to go on our knees or fold our hands or bow our heads and nothing happen. We would certainly ask God to move and to do things, which means that you're going to give this thing called prayer some thought. And not only thinking about what you might need, but thinking about, are there other things, are there other conditions that I need to be concerned about? And why would I invoke the power of God? And why would I pray and ask for the kindness of God if I don't have something in mind? If I'm not trying to frame something that's beyond my human ability. And so James comes, he brings us into this passage and he says, now, in other words, Elijah was flesh and blood just like you. Now, get that in your mind, because what we want to do when we read the Bible is that we want to deify the people of God. We want to make them as if they are gods and they possess some power when really they don't. They're humans just like you and I. And yet they have been given a tremendous resource called prayer. This thing called prayer. that when they go on their knees and they call on God, as we read here in the passage, that something happens. Heaven listens to them. Elijah, man, human, just like you and I. He would get hungry, just like you and I. Have physical needs, just like you and I. And yet when he prayed that heaven would not give the rain. And it did not rain for 3.5 years. But don't stop there. He prayed again. I think that is significant, because what we want to do is think that praying one time might be the end of it. Prayer is really this process that we go through when we call on God and we recognize God. We recognize that God is initiating a work. And for a long time, I did not see the connection between the verses where it said Elijah was a person like you and I, and he prayed, and it rained not for 3.5 years. Then he prayed again. I didn't see the connection with these verses. I didn't really take it to heart that what we ought to be praying about is not about the weather. It's not about it's too hot, so let's pray that it gets cool. It's not about we got too much rain, so let's pray that the Lord would stop. Look at somebody, tell them it's not about the weather. There are human beings dying every day. And certainly that has a higher priority than the weather. And yes, the storms are devastating when they come, but there's something more devastating than just the storms and the destruction that it brings about, the devastation of the human soul. Hear me what I say today. We as a church have been called upon to be rainmakers when it comes to the value of the human soul. They need God to speak to them. And at times, you and I, we need God to speak to us. That he would shake the heavens and bring us to the awareness that he is God. Amen. Do you see what I'm saying? Because James goes into this verse. He says, now you know about Elijah. You know how he prayed. You know that he got results. You know that he prayed again. But now let me tell you, if you start erring. Now, I want to ask a question at this point. Is there anyone in this room that's not subject to error? Okay, just as I thought. All right. So that means that even though we don't do wrong, we have the capacity to do wrong. And the one thing that helps us is that we can pray for one another. If you see your brother overtaken in a fault, you who are spiritual, you bring them back, you reel them in, you even pray that God would not send rain in their life. Do you see where I'm going? Look at somebody, tell them, you're a rainmaker. You're a rainmaker. Now don't go out and start some ritual dance. Don't do that, even though it's good to have a praise dance. But the point is that we have to understand the value of human souls. And I think that this generation has drifted from that. You don't hear much preaching about salvation. You hear a lot of preaching about get your blessing. Come get your praise on. And nothing wrong with that. But every now and then, we got to pray that this rain from heaven has to deal with somebody turning around, somebody getting right with God. You're a rainmaker. When it comes to prayer, you pray in such a fervent way that God is waiting on you to pray. It's one thing to go to an appointment and you wait for them, but it's another thing for you to go to an appointment and someone is waiting on you. God Almighty is waiting for you to shake the heavens. You're a rainmaker. You're a rainmaker. When it comes to prayer, when it comes to getting the ear of God, he desires to hear from his people. He desires to hear from his people. And I wish we could say to God, all is well. I've come to prayer this day telling you, Heavenly Father, that all is well, but all is not well. There are things going on in your families and my families that all is not well. There are problems that we're dealing with that everything is not all right, even though it looks like it's all right. We're a rainmaker. And as rainmakers, we've got to pray as we've never prayed before. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help us, because we need your grace. Anybody see what I'm talking about? Let me take you into Elijah's world. Let me take you into the time in which Elijah prophesied. It was not a good time. As a matter of fact, he was in a place where ordinarily he would not be. He was from this little town called Tishbe. He was Elijah the Tishbite. Now, I know that doesn't mean a whole lot to you, but imagine now, imagine in your mind that here's a person that comes to Evington, Virginia, and he's out of North Carolina. Or he's out of South Carolina. And what in the world is this person doing in Evington, Virginia, if he's from South Carolina? Elijah came from a land called Gilead, which belonged to Manasseh. And so he travels over the Jordan River. And he starts getting into the king's business. Because Ahab has now come to power, and Ahab is doing everything but serving God. If you go back and you read 1 Kings, you'll read where it says he reared up, which means, now in the country we call it reared up. Y'all with me? City folk, y'all with me? So he reared up something that God did not like. He built an altar unto Baal. Baal. Wait a minute. I thought that Jehovah was the living God. I thought that God Almighty was the one that ruled over Israel, not according to Ahab. And you thought he was bad. He had a wife called Jezebel. Does that sound familiar? As a matter of fact, she was the daughter of a king that they worshiped, Baal. So now they're bringing this in to the northern Israel, and God goes over and taps Elijah on the shoulder and said, get over there. And your first assignment is to pray that there's no rain. I want you to pray. Now we look at that passage, say, that doesn't go on in our day. Did you not know that in the year of 2016 in the city of New York, that they reared up this thing called the Ark of Palmyra? Just something innocent. Right out of the City Hall Park in New York City in August of 2016, they dedicated this thing called the Ark of Palmyra, which is an exact replica of the Temple of Baal. Isn't that something? Well, they just did it for they just did it for ancient historical reasons. Hard for me to say archaeology today. And here's the comment that they made when they dedicated this temple. Here's the comment that was made when they had said, okay, we're gonna go in and we're gonna build this. Roger Meckel of the Institute of Digital Archaeology, the executive director, said, we hope to signal the potential for triumph of the human ingenuity over violence and celebrate images from the past that unite the cultures they represent. What? In other words, he's saying that it's necessary for us to build images. And wait a minute. Let me get this thing straight here. God said, you shall not make images. So we're going to do one. We're going to make one anyway. Are y'all seeing where I'm going? Mr. Michael goes on to say that We also hope that visitors, wait a minute, now they want visitors to the installation that will come there will consider the role of physical objects in defining their history and weigh carefully the question of where precisely history and heritage preside. Now, can I go back and grab my grandma? Grandma said that the Lord was with me. As a matter of fact, I heard her say one time, if it had not been for the Lord who was on our side, didn't say anything about an image. And so now we've got this thing of where we want people to come to New York City because there's this ark of Palmyra, this ark that kind of looks like the Temple of Baal, and we want people to connect to it so that they will know precisely their history and their heritage. Yet at the same time, we condemn people that says, God bless America. Or in God we, help me out now, I'm kind of confused on this thing. But when you go back and look at it, especially where our folk come from, when you go back and look at our history, if it had not been for the Lord, is anybody in here? But now here's the thing, you ain't got to go to New York City to find a temple. You can go to Evington, Virginia, and find temples where people ain't serving God. You can go down here to Appomattox and find out where people not serving God. Amen. Yeah, they're looking at their heritage there to save them. Can I tell you this? I don't want to rain on your parade, but I'm a rainmaker. It's not your heritage, black or white, that saved you. God hadn't. Can I talk to somebody in here? God had to make a way out of no way. God had to provide. Now y'all see why I'm late getting here this morning, because I had to talk to the Lord one time. Amen. I was 10 minutes late, but amen, I'm right on time because I had to get another word from him. So God said, Elijah, and now he's calling for the Elijahs of our day, go and shut up heaven that there be no rain. Now, some of you all have been praying these dramatic prayers. Lord, destroy them. If you destroy them, they can't get converted. Lord, kill my neighbor. You don't want him to kill your neighbor. You want him to save your neighbor. Lord, make them sick. Wait a minute. What are you doing? It's like the disciples, they were going with Jesus, and this one town, they rejected James. They rejected Jesus when they saw that he set his face to Jerusalem. So they were saying, Lord, you want us to do like Elijah did and call down fire? And the Lord said, you don't know what kind of spirit you're of. It's one thing for you to pray and be a rainmaker, but don't abuse your power to pray. Be messing with folk. Be thinking they'd be some kind of yo-yo. Amen. Amen. You don't use prayer for that reason. You use prayer to seek God on behalf of people. Amen. The bottom line is our generation has now drifted into idolatry. And we need some folk that are able to reach heaven and say, Lord, don't send them the blessing until they can repent of their ways. Amen. Are y'all listening to me?
Yeah.
Because now listen here, you think that Ahab was bad. Ahab was a pretty bad guy, and yeah, he married a wicked wife, all right? But one time, his wife asked him, why are you so downhearted? Why, what's wrong with you? He wanted to buy this vineyard that belongs to a man named Naboth. He wanted to buy that vineyard, and Naboth said, I can't sell this to you. This is my daddy's farm and his daddy before him, and this is the family heritage, and I can't sell this because if I do that, then I'm denying what God gave us. So he's in a tizzy. He's just going around with his head moping. And you know how it is when folk won't tell you what's. Ladies, y'all know how men are when they don't say nothing. You know something wrong. And you ask them, what's wrong? Ain't nothing wrong. Now, don't ask too much because the problem might be with you. So I'm just saying now, you know. She said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Now Naboth won't sell me his vineyard." She said, "Now you're the king. You're the king." One thing you need to pray about is humility. Never let power go to your head. Because guess what? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And if you want him to give, you better watch yourself. Look at somebody and say, "Watch yourself now, watch." So long story short, Jezebel. She went out and conspired, got the whole town where this man was from to set him up in a high place, and then for some of the vain fellows, as they say, come up and bring accusations that he cursed the king and cursed God. And they stoned him to death. And then she said, "Now, husband, Ahab, go on down to the vineyard, it's yours. You ain't had to pay a penny for it. It's yours because you're the king." So he got on his high horse. At that time, they had chariots. So he got into his chariot, rode down. By the time he pulled up, God had already spoken to Elijah to go down and meet him. I'm talking about a rainmaker here. And Elijah said to him, "Here's God's curse upon you because you've taken an innocent life. Here's what God is going to do because you've destroyed this man just to have its property. It said now, where the dogs have licked up the blood of Naboth, they're going to lick up your blood. And there will not be anyone left of the house of Ahab." God said, "I'm going to pronounce this judgment on you now." Here's the thing about it. He prayed that there would be no rain. In other words, a curse was on Ahab. But then Ahab, for whatever reason, he started humbling himself, started walking around. As the Bible said, he put on sackcloth and ashes. God tapped Elijah on the shoulders. "Elijah, look. He's humbled himself. I'm not going to destroy his family in his day." See, Elijah prayed again. You need to pray again. I know you got kinfolk. Am I meddling? And it's getting ready to come what we call family reunion time, and you're going to get back and you're going to start praying. "Lord, get them." Don't be too much of a rainmaker now. Because you want to pray God's mercy. You want to, as my mother said, you want to always leave some room for falling out. You always want to leave some room so that when God says, "Okay, now they're ready for the other part of it." No, I ain't ready to pray for them now. I'm not ready to forgive them now. I'm not ready to let it go now. Wait a minute, hold up. Who's controlling the show? Is it God or is it you? Maybe God needs to do some holding back of rain in your life to let you know who's in control. Are y'all learning something? I haven't looked at a single slide this morning. I'm just preaching from the Spirit. But it's important that we understand our role as rainmakers. Now I'm going to close with this because I think it's important that as we look at what God has called us to do, the importance of prayer, real faith is not about how much stuff that you can get through prayer. Real faith is bringing people to the truth. And then the truth will set them free. Now let me tell you something about God anyway. God's going to bless you anyhow. The fact that you're on this earth, you don't have to manipulate heaven in order to get a blessing. He's going to give you blessings. If you start walking in the path of his righteousness, he's already provided the resources for you. All you got to do is thank him and just praise him that he is good, that his mercy endures forever. So what we've got to recognize is that prayer goes beyond our words and it touches the heart of God. That's what prayer is all about. And as we learn, as we go forth, we understand that we are humans. But as humans, that shouldn't keep you from praying. Because God says if his people will pray, he will send the answer. Do I have a witness here? Elijah prayed and he didn't have a 66-book Bible. Elijah prayed, and all he had was a word that God would speak to him, and then Elijah would repeat what God told him. Do I have a witness? You got a 66th book of God's record of what he can do. And the whole folks would say, there's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will what? Do the same for you. Never believe that your prayers won't work. Always believe that a merciful God is listening from heaven and will hear your cries. But you got to call him. You got to make sure that you are praying and that God is listening to your prayers. And don't let your prayers be so self-centered that you forget about the needs of others. I want to close with this. It is important that we watch out for one another. As a Christian community, that's what a church is. It's the ecclesia. It's the Christian community that we're talking about. We must watch out for one another. Don't allow each other just to drift off. Where do they go? I don't know where they go. I don't care. Really? Be concerned. Have this compassion one for another, and then to pray for one another. That why? That you might be healed. Because what happens is, when a person is over here in sin, it's not long before they're going to get sick. Are y'all in the house? Now, it may not be the sickness of a physical ailment, but things are going to go wrong because ain't no rain over there. Look at somebody. Ain't no rain over there. They're in a drought area, and you got to pray that the mercies of God will move in their lives. And I close with 2 Chronicles 7:14. If whose people? My people, which are called by my name. Now, at this point, they're not right. Because the conditions are that they are prideful. What's happening with our nation? Lord, he's given us everything. Now we kind of lifted up in pride. I got this and I got that. And you know what? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Don't let him take. You ever had children that acted up? You take stuff from them. And I'm here to tell you, act up if you want to. God will take things from you. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and do what? Pray. And then what? Turn from their wicked ways. Every day I'm asking God, forgive me. Forgive me. But here's the thing I've learned. As you follow God, you sin less. You ever notice that? Now, we all admitted at first that we have the capacity to sin, but what keeps you from sinning is that you following Jesus. And all of a sudden you stumble, right? But you're still following Jesus, so that now the righteousness of God is taken over. I got to quit preaching because we're out of time. I got to stop preaching. But now, I said that you were rainmakers, but now I'm going to say to you, you don't have to pray for rain. All right, let me give you an illustration here. You know, I'm going to give you an illustration. I saw this little thing outside. Did you not know that this is what? It's a rock, right? Now, in the country, we just throw them. May I tell you today that this stone is filled with praise. How do you know, preacher? Jesus said, if you don't praise me. Now hear what I'm saying. You don't have to always pray for rain. But if you would give God some praise. Now this will praise him if you don't. This is God's backup praise. But why should the generator have to kick on if you got power? If you really want to see how real and how good God's people are, let God's people praise him. And watch this. Then the folks over here that don't have any rain, they're going to try to come over to the place where it is raining. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Because the folks over there where it is raining, they're giving God praise. Now, I'm going to put this rock right here. All right, man. To remind you and to remind me that if we don't praise him, the rocks are going to say, it's my turn now. They did not give you thanks. And ladies and gentlemen, if the church of the living God would give God credit, would recognize that he is God, would stand up for him, you wouldn't have to be praying about the weather. And God would save some souls. I believe our praise and our honor of God has been shut down. And now the world is saying, well, what is the church got? What is the church got? What are they doing? If we would honor God, we would see a difference in our world. Let's bow in prayer. Father, thank you for your mercy and goodness. I pray, Lord, that what I've said has not only meant something, but it's reached our hearts to call us to a season of prayer. And as we conclude, Lord, these messages on the search for real faith, it ends with prayer because that's where it happens. That's where the power of God meets the weakness of man, through prayer. And what happens after prayer is simply amazing. Thank you, God, that we are rainmakers, that we've been called upon to live for you in a drought-filled world and to bring the blessings of God Almighty upon those who are in need. I thank you for that, and we give you credit for it. In Jesus' name, and all the saints of God said, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. We want to give the invitation, if there be one today, if you're without Christ, without hope, you've had somebody praying for you. My mother prayed for me when I was in the drought of my sin. She prayed for me. I had people that had me on their mind. They would tell me, I've got you on my mind. I think about Miss Toran. She was a rainmaker. She prayed for me. You've had rainmakers in your life that have helped you, that have prayed for you, that have interceded for you. Yes. And if you're here today and it's time for us to pray again about your salvation, will you come? I'm going to ask everyone to stand. Doors of the church are open. Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come.